pleased to be joined by John Leonidakis, who is a name you would recognize if you went to Cooperstown. I did a show from Cooperstown, so I knew exactly who John was, and I say that because he's been producing award-winning media experiences, etc., in entertainment for a long time. You can see some of his stuff at Disney theme parks, that kind of stuff. If you've been in Seattle, the Science Fiction Museum and Hall of Fame, etc. When I mentioned Cooperstown, he's got a bunch of films in the permanent collection there, and I remember this one about the World Series, which was really stuck with me, you know, so big. I remember it was called The Day the World Series Stopped, etc. So I want to dive into baseball with him because there's an interesting question that looms, and it's about women and baseball and teams. So the overall question is, should the United States have professional women's baseball league like they do in Japan? John, thanks so much for spending some time with us.
Thank you, Kate, for having me. It's good to be with you.
And I should say this too, and we'll talk about this. You have The Sweet Spot that's coming out, which is a documentary, right, that talks about the human side of baseball.
Yes, we actually have two seasons up already on Amazon and Roku and Vimeo on demand. And
awesome.
The first TV series to look at the human side of the game, and our mission is to preserve baseball history, celebrate a love of the game, and share stories that transcend sport and capture the imagination. I want to transform how we think about baseball and go beyond the box scores and stats to reveal the humanity that's woven into the game we love.
Oh, I'm going to go look at that as soon as I'm wrapping up this interview with you. So the question is, why don't or why can't American girls and women play baseball?
Well, they have faced institutional discrimination for well over 100 years. And American society and culture has just never been comfortable with women playing what they deem to be a man's sport. And because softball really grew teeth in the 70s to become the institution that it is today, you know, it provides college scholarships and opportunities for women to go to college. It has served as an obstruction for girls and women who want to develop their talents and skills as baseball players. And baseball is a very different game than softball, but softball has developed to the point where it is a major institution in this country. So it's very difficult for American women to get the development, training, and time with good coaching that you get as you advance to high school and college. And because they're effectively shut out from that, they don't get to develop their skills as baseball players. And so they're stuck in a never-ending do loop. And there are some little cracks being formed in what we call the old boys network, where some American values and traditions are starting to change a little bit, with a little bit of forward thinking going on. And we have a little bit of a grassroots movement with some organizations that are providing opportunities for girls and women to not only play baseball, but to also coach and umpire the Little League, because really, this is all tied to the larger issue of gender discrimination in the United States.
Yeah, and it's interesting you talk about there's a little bit of cracks. As you say that, I'm thinking, John, there must be interest in this. There must be plenty of women or girls that are interested in being more involved in baseball and actually doing it or umpiring or that kind of thing, right?
Baseball is very popular among women in America as spectators. And now we're seeing there are more and more girls playing Little League Baseball, and there are some terrific players out there, and there's an organization called Baseball for All that's been going on now 10, 13 years, being run by Justine Siegel, who was the first woman to pitch batting practice for Major League Baseball teams and the first woman to coach a Major League Baseball team. She was a pitching coach for the Oakland A's during fall ball in 2015. And Justine has a national baseball tournament, I should say Baseball for All does, and they just had their third tournament where the Rockford Peaches used to play the old All-American Girls Professional Baseball League team. And they drew well over 200 girls from North America, and quite possibly could have been the largest gathering of American girls and women to play baseball in a tournament in the United States.
Wow. You know, and it's so interesting as I think about this. Somebody I remember, because of course I do sports on NBC Sports Radio, a syndicated show. And it's funny you say women in the United States like baseball. I grew up outside of Philly, and I grew up watching the Philadelphia Phillies. I grew up in that baseball culture, so I didn't play, but it's interesting. I agree with you. I think a lot of women are interested in the game, no question about it, even if they don't play. So the question is, there was a woman that was awarded an athletic college baseball scholarship for baseball, then actually went on to be the first woman to pitch a complete game in a men's professional baseball, who was that woman, and where is she now? Because I don't know who that is.
That's Isla Borders. And Isla was a left-handed pitcher who was a terrific athlete and baseball player. She played on her boys' high school team, got an opportunity to get a college athletic scholarship to play baseball at South Coast College here in the Los Angeles area. And she was the first woman to win a college baseball game as a pitcher. And then she moved on to pitch in the independent Northern League, where she worked with Mike Vec and the St. Paul Saints.
Yep.
And then she moved on from there to the Duluth Dukes. And on July 24th, 1998, Isla pitched a complete game victory, 3-1, over the Sioux Falls Canaries. And that she notched the first victory for a woman to pitch a game on a men's team in a professional league since 1955, when I believe we had there was a Negro League pitcher. There were women who played in the Negro Leagues who were excellent, people like Toni Stone and Mamie Peanut Johnson. But Isla is really an iconic figure, not only for women in baseball, but for baseball in general, because of the persistence and the dedication and the courage. People have no idea the amount of abuse that is heaped on girls and women when they try to play baseball on boys and men's team. Coaches and fans and parents, they get on these people like you'd never see most other players. And some of them have faced physical assault and a kind of abuse that is shocking. I interviewed a number of women and girls who play the game, their parents, the coaches and umpires, and I think people would be absolutely shocked at the emotional trauma inflicted upon these people simply because they had the temerity to want to play our national pastime with boys and men.
Wow. And, you know, as we keep examining this and you talk about the whole gender idea and baseball, and as you say, the terrible abusive situations that people put up with or women put up with, do you think the culture changes eventually? Because this is what we're talking about, and this is what we started talking about. How long does that take if we do see it change?
Well, I think it starts in youth. And Justine Siegel has a great comment. She says, when boys play with girls, you show you respect them. And when you do that at an early age, it all becomes a social function where everybody is seen as being on a level playing field. So when you start them young and they continue to play and are allowed to play and develop beyond Little League, such as in Canada, girls baseball, girls are encouraged to play baseball beyond that, and they play on mixed-sex teams in all the way up to the beginning of adolescence. And then beyond that, they have the option of going on to boys' teams if they wish, but many times they choose to be on all-girls teams up there in Canada. Mm. But girls' teams play boys' teams in Canada as they both progress through the season, and they often play each other in the playoffs. And this is why Canada has developed an excellent national program for their teams. And we see this in Japan, which is dominant. I mean, Japan now has a professional women's baseball league, and Australia is another country where they're able to develop at a very early age, and they also have a very strong national baseball team. But in some of these other countries, they're not rooted in the sort of, you know, the rooted in the past where, you know, baseball is for boys and softball is for girls. They don't have that in Canada. They don't have that in Australia. They don't have that in Japan. So all those girls are able to develop unfettered and become the tremendous athletes and develop their gifts to become bona fide baseball players. And the United States is behind the curve on that. It's getting better. We have a very good national program here with Team USA, but it's going to take some time for girls and women to develop as baseball players to the point to where the quality of the game will be strong enough to where we can have our own professional league. And, you know, you need to have that television contract. But as we've seen with other national women's teams here in the United States, like the women's soccer team, as far back as 1998, they sold out the Rose Bowl. Over 90,000 fans saw those American women play China for the gold medal in the Women's World Cup. So women's sports, as I'm sure you know, can draw fans and can draw revenue and advertisers. It just needs the opportunity to develop the talent. And we're starting to get there with the U.S. women and girls, but they've had to beat back this gender discrimination piece. And like I say, we're starting to see some cracks in the foundation that has prevented them from evolving. But it's going to take a little bit more time. And, you know, as a matter of fact, that you can count on two hands the total number of women that have played baseball on men's teams at the college level. And
wow,
we're talking well over 100 years. So that gives you an idea of where we are in the scheme of things.
John, it's fascinating talking to you about baseball. And we're speaking with John Leonidakis, who has this incredible streaming documentary series called The Sweet Spot. John, we're going to continue with you coming up in our next segment here on ATN.